And let's pray. Let's thank God for this incredible gift that we have in the person of Christ. For the grace and the mercy that you've poured into each of our lives. Well, today was a commissioning service. Last week we sent the kids out, blessing them as they embark on another year. Today we do the same for ourselves. Yet I want to nuance our sending by reminding us that we all are commissioned. That we don't just go to survive, asking for God's protection for our sake. Rather, we go with a purpose, commissioned to undertake a role. So to explore this role, let's read our key passage. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse those who have leprosy. Drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Lord Jesus, we've just prayed and we've just acknowledged that you have done everything possible. Everything possible. For us to be reconciled to you, to be washed clean, to be made anew. Lord Jesus, as we read your word this morning, may that truth be known by everybody here. May it be known to the point that it drives us out into this world to share the good news that is you. Amen. Well, what a way to start a missionary endeavor with an instruction to don't go to a particular group of people. At least, don't go to them. If these were the last words of Christ on that matter, then I would not be standing here today because I'm pretty sure I'm not Jewish. If we read scripture in isolation, we can get seriously misdirected. Don't go to the foreigners. I remember once hearing the Wizard of Christchurch quoting scripture on national TV, completely out of context. And I can't count, and I'm sure you would identify with this, the number of times I've heard people say, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, referencing Moses from the book of Exodus. When looking for justice, Jesus, of course, raised the bar, saying, you've heard that it is said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. The flip side to this misapplication of scripture by somebody who doesn't believe is that some Christians think that the first half of scripture, those tied to the Ten Commandments, are null and void. They are not. Jesus said to enter into heaven, we are called to surpass the law. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Obviously, this is impossible for you and I. Only one could and did meet the full measure of the law, and that is Christ Jesus. So the law was not done away with, rather it is fulfilled for us by Christ. The Apostle Paul said of the law when writing to the Romans, who were Gentiles, just to point that out, so not Jewish, that the law is still holy, that it reveals that which is unholy, and for this his inner being celebrates, delights. He's thankful for the law. An analogy that I think is helpful for understanding the purpose, the point of the law, of the Ten Commandments and all that goes with that, is to compare the law to a mirror. In the mirror, you see that your face is dirty, some more dirty than others. The law reveals our sin. The mirror reveals our dirt. Yet like the mirror, our face is not cleansed by the law. It simply reveals it. What it does is it reveals that we have a Savior who has come to wash away that sin. That is what Christ has done for each and every person that has ever walked the earth. Again, Christ has fulfilled the law. So when reading Scripture, I layer Christ onto the Old Testament so that I see the law in light of Christ. Take away Christ, and the law is an impossibility for us. But what of this passage this morning? For it is Christ himself who is saying, don't go. When we read this passage, we need to hold the specific time it was said and why. We also need to know that while it spoke to that specific time, it can and still does speak to us in some measure today, but only in light of what has been filled through the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. At this time, Jesus was fulfilling Old Testament prophecy and with his promise to the lost sheep of Israel. Hence, the priority given to the nation of Israel. But this priority did not last, as God foreknew the nation of Israel would reject Christ, resulting in the great commission that Christ gives as he ascends into heaven. Here we see the mission of God is extended to all people, to the whole world. This is one of those sensitive areas of the church family, talking about Judeo-Christian relations. While this is not the core of today's message, I want to counsel those of us who are not Jewish to pray for the nation of Israel, as we are all instructed to. The story of the prodigal son, I think, is a helpful quantifier in this area. I find the parallel of the parable of the prodigal son, say that quickly 10 times, and ourselves as believers who are in the kingdom of God is striking. In one sense, we can so easily take the posture of the faithful son, seeing ourselves as righteous by our own undertaking, treating our fellow lost brothers and sisters as unworthy of the Father's love. We must not be like this brother. Rather, as true sons and daughters of the Father, we should emulate his desire to restore all his children. Under Jewish culture, this brother should not have stayed home. Rather, he should have gone out and found his brother and brought him back. So too our response should be to actively seek the restoration of all humanity. Finally, on that particular topic, remember that God has not abandoned the Jews. For as Paul himself said, he himself is a descendant of Abraham. The good news of Christ came to you and I through faithful Jewish brothers and sisters like Mary Magdalene, Paul, Mary the mother of Jesus, Peter, Joanna, Luke, just to name a few. The good news of Christ was brought to us by their faithful testimony of who Christ is. The next part of today's reading that we must also review in light of the fulfillment of Christ's death and resurrection are these words. the kingdom of heaven has come near. Again, when we read scripture, we have to layer the whole life and death of Christ onto this passage to understand what has taken place. Again, these words were spoken specifically at a specific time. These words are true for a pre-resurrection, pre-coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. However, now we can say the kingdom of God has come. Not yet in its fullness, for we see and experience that the full unfolding of his peace and justice is yet to be completely known. However, no longer are we under a kingdom paradigm where the ruler of this world would have the final say. For Satan was defeated when Christ rose from the grave. So this message, the kingdom is near, is no longer our message. Our message is the kingdom of God has come. I believe this is captured in the Great Commission as found at the end of Matthew's account, where we see the fullness of God's authority revealed as it was sent not just in the power of Jesus, but in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the full measure of the kingdom. What hasn't changed is our role to testify what Jesus has done. The gospel story remains the same. Jesus has come to set the captive free, to give sight to the blind. He has come to give you and I freedom from sin. So in a very real sense, our role has not changed since these words 2,000 years ago. We are to continue to testify as to what we have seen, to act as a witness of Jesus in our life. Now, this morning seems to be a morning of old songs. I remember a song from my teens. Lift Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher, lift him up for the world to see. He said, if I be lifted up, even better, let's just read it. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men, all people to myself. Obviously, this hints to what takes place on the cross, but it should also speak to what we seek to prioritize in communicating the kingdom of heaven. And it begs the question, do I believe it? Do you believe it? Do you believe that by putting Christ front and center of our message, that he will impact the very people we are trying to save? Or are we still operating out of our old mindsets? For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The gospel is first and foremost Christ and him crucified. So ahead of everything else you may hear today, know that whatever spiritual state you are in, you are loved by God. Loved to the point while you are still a sinner, he sent his son to take away your sin. To take away my sin. You might be sitting there wondering, what sin? I'm a sinner? That is the beauty of the law, for it reveals our need of Christ. But not only does the word of God reveal our brokenness, so too does the Spirit of God. Most weeks I sit down with someone and they're wanting to unburden themselves as the Holy Spirit has revealed an area of their life that Jesus desires to bring freedom to. And together, having confessed our sins, one to another, God is faithful and forgives, bringing freedom where there was pain and captivity. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Our message is one that is not just words, but is supported by extraordinary acts of an extraordinary God. Let's not try and limit God's desire to reveal his love. Let's love with a passion to the point where it costs. Let's feed the hungry. Let's clothe the poor. Let's offer to pray for the sick. Some will say no. And if you read on in this chapter in Matthew, you will find that it is inevitable. If we are not seeing people set free from demon possession, it's not because there are no demons today. It's because we're not putting ourselves in positions where the possessed are. Or perhaps we've closed our spiritual eyes to see that freedom being offered. This is why we are called to the world, because it's how Jesus lived, with the sick who need a doctor. Lastly, these 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions, ending with, "Freely you have received, freely give." Here's the crux, guys. Freely you have received. Now, freely give. Somewhere in your journey, someone sat down with you and spoke the good news of God's love for you. Don't you want to do that for someone else? When is the last time that you have been able to sit with somebody and talk about Christ and pray? Have you forgotten what Christ has done for you? Have I forgotten what Christ has done for me? Revelation 12:11 tells how people's lives will be recounted at the end of time, and how sons and daughters of God will have laid down their lives, their own agendas, for the sake of revealing Christ to the lost. I think this is the difference between sonship and discipleship. If you've given your life to Christ, you are in the kingdom of God. You become daughters and sons of the Father. That's locked in. That's sealed. But discipleship offers so much more. Not just for you, but for others. Your faith journey has so much promise for others. That's why we exist as a church, to help resource and equip you to share the good news of Christ. I say it every week. I'll say it again. We are Baptists. We pride ourselves on the understanding that we are a priesthood of all believers. People don't need to encounter Christ through me. They can know Christ through you. Are you up for it? Because in a moment, I'm going to read over you the words that Christ spoke over the disciples to you. And I'm going to ask you to stand. If you want to underwrite your daughtership, your sonship status to a full discipleship mode. Again, this is why we are offering things like Alpha. It gives you an opportunity to go out and connect with people and offer to journey with people. Excuse me. Let's look at Luke 10. Luke 10 is the parallel of this passage. This is Luke's account. of the sending out. And there's some elements that he captures that Matthew does not. The one I like is he points out that they were sent out in twos. We don't go alone. One of the realities of being called into ministry, Mogs, is that you and your family become sermon illustrations, Justin. So today I'm picking on Justin. Justin, Moggs has not been called to ministry. You all have been called to ministry. Now, I'm not saying that the church gets a two-for-one deal. As an accountant, you know that would be wrong. Rather, I'm confirming what you already know. It comes at a cost. Yes, a financial cost. Case in point. You were planning to buy this boat, but you can't anymore. And so to get this boat, I'll pitch in 5%. Dave will do 5. Lois will do 5. We'll get there together. This is not the boat he wants to buy. You know it comes at a cost. Not just money. It comes at a cost for family. You know that. We've sat down, and I remember our a time where we sat with the Kerry academic staff and registry staff, and I know that you are fully cognizant that the next 3 years is going to be far more than just money coming out of your pocket. You're going to lose special time with Monique. I encourage you, work hard to try and glean that wherever you can, with the children as well. But I know from my own personal journey, God is faithful. He will cover this deficit. Again, this chapter goes on. It states really clearly that following Christ, it comes at a cost. Now, the rest of you are sitting there and thinking, I'm just talking about Justin. I'm not. I'm talking about all of us. For we are all called to take up our cross. Not his cross. That's been done. Take up our cross and follow him. The flip side to being sent and the cost is the incredible privileges. While I know, again, Justin, that you have a role that keeps you very tied closely to a desk, 15 minutes from your office every Tuesday, if you wanted to, you could pop down to Kerry and receive a free meal. You can catch some live interviews of some incredible people. During my time there with Rachel and I, we heard the life story of the Governor General, James Maloney, a New Zealand chaplain who was deployed to Afghanistan. Mark Powell, the CEO of the Warehouse Group. Petra Baghurst. Fascinating interviews as these people shared how they reconciled leadership and serving God in a faithful way. On top of this, some of Rachel's and my best times over those 3 years were the drive home, as we meld over different speakers we had heard. So can I encourage you to get there and glean at the edge of Mog's journey? The best privilege, the best privilege, is that the Holy Spirit, his presence goes with us, all of us. So let's stand, because today we're all being commissioned. I hope you'll join me by standing. I'm going to read this over you. This is Jesus speaking to you. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always." God, I know you love this church. God, I know that you have given everything that is required to equip, resource, and empower them. I know your eye is upon each and every individual. This week, Lord Jesus, I pray that each person might have an opportunity to speak of you, to declare your goodness, to declare your grace, to declare your hope, your truth. We are yours, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you go with us as we go. Amen. Bless you guys. Have a great week. See you throughout the week.